He just finished up attending a high school basketball game, doing a little recruiting on a Tuesday night as they get ready to leave tomorrow for the Pacific Northwest, take on Gonzaga and Portland to close out the West Coast Conference regular season before the West Coast Conference tournament next week. We're joined by head coach of the USD Toreros, Bill Greer. Coach, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Coach. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about recruiting, and I know we can't talk about any of the kids that you're recruiting right now that haven't already signed, but you've got how many scholarships you got left?
We got a couple. We're involved with some kids right now and hoping to sign them in the late period.
Now, how many? You signed one during the early period, right?
Yeah, we signed one, Alex Floresca, a young man out of Webster's Grove in St. Louis, Missouri, 6'8", about 230 pounds, and he's one of those guys out on the floor. He's not comfortable unless he's hitting someone. So certainly something we need. We're excited to have him, and he just plays extremely hard and very, very physical.
What other spots are you looking to fill right now? Another guy along the baseline and a guard, or what are you looking at?
Exactly. You know, we'd like to get some more size, and then a guard that can score.
How many guys you got coming back next year?
Well, the main guy we lose, obviously, Johnny D and Christopher Anderson, who have been, the face of this program the last 4 years. Thomas Jacobs, who's been just a terrific complement to those guys with his effort and his intensity that he plays with. And then Simi Fajimison is a fifth-year senior who's been a nice role player for us.
You know, I look at Johnny D, and he came up a couple of different times last night. I was broadcasting from down there at the Town and Country, and he came up and visited with me before and then after the event, and he was awarded one of the college star athletes of the year and well-deserved. Here's a guy that's now over 2,000 career points, and then I look at Christopher Anderson. He's going to leave USD as the all-time leader in assists and all-time leader in steals. I mean, these two guys have had remarkable careers.
Yeah, they really have, and they don't combine. They don't measure up to 12 feet. So it's amazing at their size what they've done in college basketball at this level. And there's just so many people said they were too small and couldn't play at this level. And I think it's been a source of motivation for both of them through high school, but once they got to college, to prove people wrong, and they certainly have.
Let's talk just briefly on that BYU game last week. You knew it was going to be tough going up there. You beat them by three here. They got you 75-62. Your thoughts on the way you guys came out and competed?
I actually thought we got off to a great start. We really did a good job with our game plan of showing patience when they scored, looking to push when we got to stop, and taking good shots. And we got away from it right at the very end of the first half with about a minute 40 to go. And they went on a 5-0 run to end the half to be up five. And it kind of continued for the first couple minutes into the second half. We took a couple quick ones, turned it over. And, in that building, when you make mistakes, they make you pay very quickly. They play extremely fast in that building. And when we got down 10, we just couldn't get the thing inside 8 again. And it was really all because of that one stretch. Outside of that, I thought we did some we stuck to the plan and we did some good things. It's just that stretch killed us.
You got Gonzaga on Thursday night up at the McCarthy Athletic Center, 8 o'clock game. Gonzaga coming in number 3 in the country right now, 28-1. They haven't lost in conference. They're 16-0. And this guy, Kyle Wilcher, been absolutely on fire, averaging over 17 a game, had a game of 45 points. They got Kevin Pango, seems like he's been around for a while. I mean, they've got some real firepower.
Well, they really do. They have tremendous depth. They're the number one team in the country in offensive field goal percentage. They are very, very efficient offensively. Yeah, part of that is because of Kevin Pangos does such a great job running their team. Part of that is because they have such tremendous size that can score, you know, and Šimek and Karnowski. You mentioned Wiltshire. Wiltshire, he can score in the post, but he's actually better faced up out away from the basket. And then they have young Sabonis, who there's a lot of talk, you know, from guys I've spoke to at ESPN that say he's a possible lottery pick if he were to declare. So, I mean, he's coming off the bench. I mean, how about having a potential lottery pick coming off the bench for you? So, you know, this is, I believe this is Mark's deepest team. He's got a lot of weapons that come in, and when he goes to the bench, they don't drop, and they got guys who can score in every position. It's been an interesting battle over the last 4 years between Pangos and Christopher and between Gary Bell and Johnny D. It's been a good battle. They really compete and go after each other. I think Christopher probably does as good a job as anybody on Pangos, and I think Gary Bell probably does as good a job as anybody on Johnny D. So it's been a fun matchup, and I think it's been fun for those guards to go against each other.
Okay, let me ask you this. Obviously, you lost to him here the first time around. How do you get your team mentally prepared to go in there and play these guys? I don't think you have to give them a speech. I mean, the place is going to be going absolutely crazy. They got an opportunity to really make a name for themselves by going in there and winning this ball game. But from a coaching standpoint, offensively and defensively, how do you attack these guys?
Well, our plan has to be very similar to what it was at BYU in terms of, you know, shot selection. We have to be really intelligent. If you take a quick one where you don't have good floor balance, then they turn that into instant offense. We have to do a great job taking care of the ball. They're a very good transition team, and that, you know, the Kennel really feeds off of them when they get breakouts and made threes, and those are the things you have to fight them on to keep them from getting. Part of that's on your approach and your attack on offense, but it's also your ability to defend them and stop them in transition. I think you touched on it, but it is a great opportunity to make a name for yourself. And I told our guys, I mean, every team that's had a long win streak in college basketball, somebody's broke their streak. I mean, you know, there's nobody that's just run the table and has never lost at home, you know. So no reason why it can't be us, but we're going to have to play really, really well. I mean, you know, dang near perfect, mistake-free against them to give ourselves a chance.
Coach, let me ask you about this. And, of course, you were a big part of this thing when it got really rolling up there in Gonzaga. If they separated themselves really from the rest of the conference, you think about some of the things they're able to do financially. You know, you talked a while back about how they've got their own private jet. Recruiting-wise and other little perks, have they separated themselves from the majority of the conference?
By an enormous gap. They are recruiting on a national level. Kyle Wiltshire was a guy that was, you know, highly, highly, highly recruited out of high school. They were involved with him. It came, you know, he decides to go to Kentucky and then ends up back there, you know. So they're involved at a real high level in recruiting. You know, it's a big part of their success is, you know, helps that in the recruiting, but it's also a lot of those other things that you mentioned. They do charter every game. I mean, there's not very many teams that charter every single road trip. And that's something that separates them. They're able to schedule games on neutral floors made for TV that no one else in our league can do. So, yeah, I mean, they're certainly a big gap, but it's been that way for quite some time. I think for a lot of us, BYU, from a resource standpoint, is probably the only team
financially that can compete with them, or probably actually maybe even has a little bit more resources because of the strength of their football program.
After Gonzaga on Thursday night, you finish up conference play against Portland, and they always do a good job, and they're tied with you guys right now for fifth in the WCC.
Yeah, you know, I think that's a really big game. It's a quick turnaround. We play 8 o'clock Thursday night in Spokane and play 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. But it's the same scenario we had last year. We were able to go in there and win. Now, what's a little bit different than the first time we played them, Kyle Bailey, their good wing, is back. And he had 30 in their last game at Pacific, which they lost in overtime. But he's been kind of a Torero killer in his career. He's had some big games against us. He's so long and athletic, and he's a little bit unorthodox in some of the shots he takes and makes, and he's really difficult to defend. But, you know, I think that's a big game. They stole one from us down here, hit the shot at the buzzer to beat us. You know, we need to go up there and steal one from them and hopefully move into that fifth slot.
All right, Coach, how does the conference tournament work, and when does it start?
Now, Coach, you and I have been through this a couple times. It starts a week from Friday, 7 plays 10, 8 plays 9, and then on Saturday are the quarterfinals. 1 and 2 get to play, I don't know, what is it, 7, 10, 8, 9. 3-6 play each other, and 4-5 play each other, and then it's, you know, quarterfinals on a Saturday. Sunday we're off, and then Monday is the semis, and Tuesday is the finals. Now, I don't know the dates per se off the top of my head, but that's been the format here.
So if you guys finish in fifth, you're only going to have to win 3 games in 3 days, opposed to if you finish lower, you got to win 4 and 4.
Now, if you finish 6 or higher, you're only having to play 3 games.
Okay, well, I'm pulling for that.
6 plays 3, which, you know, if you're 6, the one good thing about 6 as compared to 5 is the winner of the 4-5 game is going to have to face Gonzaga in the semifinals. So, you know, that's a tall task. But, hey, I'd take it. That means we'd won at Portland and secured that spot you know, you'd be faced up with a Pepperdine team that you, you know, beat pretty handily on the road. And, you know, I think you go into that game with a lot of confidence. But if we end up 6th and we end up playing BYU, well, you know, that's a team we beat on our home floor. And I think our guys feel confident about it, playing them on the neutral. So, you know, but that's all. There's a lot of scenarios involved. There's a lot of a lot of other factors involved with games between Santa Clara and San Francisco that have to play out. So too many variables. We just have to worry about ourselves. We got to go up and play well on Thursday, and then have ourselves ready to go for that 1 o'clock game on Saturday.
Well, I know one thing. Last year, when you guys were in the West Coast Conference tournament, you guys played some doggone good basketball and an opportunity to play a couple of solid ball games, get yourself ready to go in there and compete and let the chips fall where they may.
Like, we just, you know, we've been talking about it for the last couple weeks here, just trying to get better going into our league tournament. It's unfortunate timing that the way the schedule worked out is we had to finish with these 3 on the road, and you know, it's against 2 of the top 3 teams in the league, and then the team you're battling with for fifth. So it's a tough stretch, but you know, I think our confidence is still high. We've been playing pretty good basketball, and we have to continue that. We can't, no matter what happens in Spokane. We have to continue to build our confidence and go forward into Portland, and then have a good week going into that conference tournament.
Hey, good luck on the road, Coach, and we'll get you on next Tuesday night prior to the start of the tournament.
Okay, thanks, Coach. Thanks again for having me on.
You're welcome. Bill Greer, head basketball coach, University of San Diego.